It's Albert's Public House. Welcome into a Thursday night edition. Rob Alfano here for a vacationing Albert Reynoso. He'll be gone through Tuesday when the staff returns. Alex is off as of tonight as well. He'll be back on Tuesday night. So a little different schedule here on the Great American Broadcast Network, but we'll tell you about that in just a little while. It's amazing if you were listening to the network just now. Every time I do this, you're always interrupting a program, but last night's Public House was on, and I was able to end it just in time to get on the air live. So it's like within the blink of an eye, it's 24 hours later. How about that? Just kind of worked out that way this time. In just a few moments, we're going to be opening up Skype and give you a chance to call us. GabNet Live is our handle on Skype, and all you need to do is just either go to GabNet.net and click on the call button, or just search for GabNet Live and put it in your Skype thing, address bar, whatever they call it, and then just give us a call. And we are introducing something brand new tonight. And I wish it was last weekend because I would have tested this. We also have a brand new telephone number that you can call and join the citizen panel. It is 347-352-0079. Again, it's area code 347-352-0079. It's our new telephone number here at the Great American Broadcast Network. So in addition to those who want to call us on Skype and participate video-wise, you can also give us a call on your traditional telephone and participate in an audio-only capacity on our citizen panel. And I would have used it last weekend. Actually, well, we're not live this weekend, but when I was traveling back last Monday night, I don't like to call in when I'm doing this because it makes a lot of noise. You know, when you're calling in on Skype on your phone, it makes a lot of noise. But I'll bet you the telephone line, if you just, you know, were to call in with your phone, it would be a lot better. So we're going to start that up right now. We're going to fire up. Skype. We're going to open up the citizen panel here right now. And we are going to take our phone calls. And we start right now with Rin. It's been Rin or David, and we know David, I think, is pretty much out of commission right now. He's going to get ready to travel, so we won't be hearing from him. But let me give you our phone number once again. It's 347 area code, 352-0079, and you can call us on your phone now, so in case you want to use your computer for porn, maybe, I don't know, whatever you want to do, you can call us, or you can just use GabNet Live, and then we can see as well as hear you as part of our citizen panel here for this Thursday night. Rin, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Rob?
I am tired. It's been a busy day for me. I sat around work all day today and did nothing. And then at the end of my day, it got very busy, and not with work, but with work-related items like jobs. I hate to say this because there's so many on GabNet who work here who don't have jobs, but I got two calls for two really interesting jobs that I am – tomorrow I have an interview at 10:30 in the morning for one of them. And the other one is a 1 o'clock phone interview tomorrow afternoon. So I spent all evening tonight getting everything ready for that, in addition to getting ready for this. So we'll see. Maybe I will be with a new position, which would be awesome. But how about you otherwise?
Things are going well. I might be getting a kitten.
A kitten.
Yeah, because my cat, Jocelyn, passed away last month.
Yeah.
And my best friend really likes this kitten. It's white with, like, patches of orange tiger. Mm-hmm. So he's really interesting looking. But I want to meet him first. So that's my weekend.
How old is the kitten?
It's just about 8 weeks.
Oh. Female, male?
So little. Male. Mm-hmm.
So that's neat. But you have another cat, right? You have a
yes.
And so you're going to want them to meet.
Yes. Well, they would. I would. I think you're supposed to separate them physically so they can get used to each other's smells, mm-hmm. and then you can introduce them face to face.
Yeah. My wife would love to either get another cat or a puppy. And I'm not for either, because my cat is really, she's a perfect pet. I don't have any, you know, I watched that program, the cat guy there.
My Cat from Hell.
Yeah, My Cat from Hell. And I said,
Jackson Galaxy.
Yeah. And I say to her, do you really want that? You hear about it all the time. You know, the two cats that don't get along, or a dog and a cat. We've got complete harmony. My cat is, she's a studio cat. She's right on the floor here next to me, and she spends more time. She follows me around like a dog, and she sleeps in the studio in addition, spends more time in here than I do. So I don't know why she loves it. It's no different from any other room in the house, but she seems to love it in here. So
maybe she gets you on your own in that room.
Well, but, you know, when I'm in the other room sleeping or downstairs, I find her up here a lot of times just hanging out. It's like, you know, she wants to get on GabNet and just chat away or something. But she just rests so comfortably here, just sits there nice. And I said, do you really want to introduce another animal? Yeah, it'd be kind of cool to have another cat. I don't really want the headache of a puppy, because they're, you know, maybe a full-grown dog at some point, but a puppy that you got to train and you got to. You know, I got a pretty new house, and I don't really want poop and pee all over the rug and the wood floors. And I don't need that. You know, I don't need that aggravation. We're going to go away now, right? We're getting ready to leave. We're going to leave Saturday morning, and Maxie will be fine here by herself with a big, big bowl of food and a big, big bowl of water and her automatic kitty box that just spins and empties itself out when she goes in there. And life is good. Otherwise, I have to worry about what am I going to do with her when I go away. It's like it's worse than having a child, because you know the child is going to grow up.
Right.
You know, if a dog lives to 15 or 16 or whatever, it's 16 years of a baby. You know, it's not like a child by 16. You know, you can go away. You know, you don't have to worry about it. So. You know,
you really can't send a cat to its room.
No. So, you know, I'd love to give her her wish, but I just don't see it. Maybe if we had a family and then you're really tied down, but until and if whenever there's more important things than another animal in the house. But Damien is joining us. Hello, Damien. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, thank you. I want to remind you, we have a phone number to call tonight.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Hear you fine.
Okay, great.
We have a very light citizen panel tonight. It's just Damien and Rin, and we'll get along just fine. But if you'd like to join us, GabNet Live, or our phone number, which is area code 347-352-0079, and you could give us a call, and we'd love to talk to you tonight here on the Great American Broadcast Network, Albert's Public House. And at 10 o'clock tonight... No ramble. Instead, it'll be Miranda's Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle tonight at 10 p.m. She's going to do a two-hour program from 10 until midnight in Alex's time slot. And then tomorrow night, Alex is taking the night off as well. And Jim will move up Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content from midnight Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern. And Alex, did you see the picture on Facebook today?
Just so we're clear, Miranda is doing 2 hours and only 2 hours. And at her normal time slot, there will be nothing.
That's right.
And same with Friday. Jim will be doing Alex's time slot, and in Jim's time slot, there will be nothing.
That is correct.
Unless just want to make that clear. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not coming back at midnight to do
it. And Miranda's not actually going to do a three-hour show tonight or anything.
No.
Okay.
No, did you hear her the other night? She was saying that she is going to start to move her show back down to the 1 hour. And she had been
I was there.
Yeah, she was saying that she wants to move it back down. But she's excited to try it in an earlier time slot, and I don't blame her. Although, the way it looks tonight, it just might, in general, be a light night. So she may not get many more calls tonight. But
well, it is a holiday weekend. Even Alex has taken today off.
Yeah. So I remember doing this for Memorial Day for Albert, and the phones seemed busier than this. But, hey, we'll make it through. Right? I've got a bunch of news.
This is a travel day, isn't it?
It's a travel day. Tomorrow would be the travel. Well, that's a good question. You know, everybody who was on the citizen panel last night, I remember asking, what are you doing for the holiday? And nobody seemed to say they were going anywhere. So, you know, Just, I don't remember anybody. I'm leaving, like I said, Saturday morning. We're going to be at my brother's for the weekend, and then we're going to head out to New York City and spend Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Manhattan. Got tickets to see the Yankee game Tuesday night. Hopefully, I believe it's penciled in. We haven't figured out a time yet, but we're going to have dinner with Alex and girlfriend on Wednesday. And then I'd like to see, I need to email Albert. I know he's in town. I'd like to get together with Albert as well, and either for lunch or for dinner that week as well, that, you know, period of time. Get back here. Got a couple of days to relax. And my wife, hopefully, will get her road test in either on Friday or Saturday of next week and become an official Virginia driver, and then look out on the roads in Virginia.
So, all the way across the country here.
Yeah, no worries out there, that's for sure. She doesn't really like driving so much. You know, she does it, but it's not something I think she, you know, when I was learning how to drive, I couldn't wait to get behind the wheel. At times I'll say to her, why don't you drive? That's okay, you drive.
Were you driving at 16?
I was driving, yeah. I was driving as young as I could. My dad gave me my first car. It was a 1964 Volkswagen Beetle. And yeah. And I remember I had it probably 6 months or a little bit, because he had bought a new car. And I had it 6 months to a year prior to me driving it, which meant it sit in the driveway. And I would wash it.
And you got in the driver's seat and you spun the wheel a couple times often.
What I used to do was actually drive it in the backyard. We had two trees in the backyard, and I would do a figure eight around the two trees. And then one day, we used to have this tin, aluminum, whatever, shed in the backyard. And one day I was backing up, and I hit it.
No.
Did it just collapse?
No, it. You know how the back of the bug is? It's got that kind of the way the bumper juts out. Well, that's what it looked like in the corner of the shed. There was that shape of the back of the Beetle.
There's no denying it.
Oh, I didn't try to deny it. They could see the tire tracks all over the yard. I was at my own little figure eight going. I couldn't wait to drive, you know, and I actually took driver's ed while I was in. Early in 11th grade, and by second half of 11th grade, I was driving to school every day, and so I was very popular with everybody in school because I had a car, and those were the days.
I did not actually even learn how to drive until I was 32.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, I will say that the first time I ever got behind the wheel of a car and tried to drive it myself, I ran it right into my friend's garage door. He pulled up to his house and he said, you know, oh, I need to get in the garage, back the car up for me. And I said, but I don't know. And he said, shut up and just do it. And I was like, okay. And so I literally got into the driver's seat of his car and I looked over at my friend in the passenger seat. He also didn't know how to drive. And he looked at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, he told me to do it. And yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. And what happened is I started it in gear.
Oh,
and so when I turned the ignition, it lurched forward and right into his garage door.
Great.
Yeah, it was probably another 10 years before I actually learned how to drive.
Wow. Now, that wasn't it wasn't that you were traumatized by that. You just didn't have an interest in it or didn't have a need to drive or
what? Well, it was probably a combination of both. I really didn't have a need to drive. And when I was a certain age, I moved to San Francisco. And when you live in the city, you just don't need to have a car. There's no need for you to have a car. And then I moved to Walnut Creek. And from Walnut Creek, there's a BART connection all the way into San Francisco. So for the longest time, I just took BART in and out of the city every day. And then one day, my girl decided she was going to go on vacation and visit her family in Alabama. Sorry. And while she was gone for 2 weeks, I had my license. I just got my license. And I was like, well, what the heck? I'll take her car. I'll drive it into the city just to see what it's like, you know? And you know what? being in my own car and driving to the city and being in my own little environment was 100 times better than being on the BART, being on public transit, being on the train. You know,
that's when you know.
It took me 2 hours just to get 35 miles. Yeah. But, you know, it was still, I was in my own space. I could smoke a cigarette. I could listen to whatever music I wanted. You know, I could do whatever the heck I wanted.
You could set the temperature the way you want it.
Exactly.
And you don't have some creepy guy's crotch right in your face.
And I never
got stuck under the bay for 20 minutes, you know, which happened to me a number of times.
You don't have to listen to that announcement when they fake apologize to you for the delay as you're sitting there. We apologize for the delay. No, you don't. Just be quiet.
We'll let you know as soon as we have any further development.
So, I totally get that. And the other cool thing that you learn or that you figure out after you start driving as opposed to taking the public transportation is when you're stuck in the city and you've taken the public transportation and you want to go someplace after work, it's only complicated back that you need to go to square one before you can go where you need to go. As opposed to just being able to drive directly, you need to take the public transportation back to where the car is. And you got to take the car and go where you got to go. So,
well, and in San Francisco, even if you weren't taking your car, you know, you could, it's a direct, it's like 5 minutes to your destination, but you could literally wait 30 minutes for the Muni to actually arrive. I'll be right there. And 45 minutes later, you actually arrive.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of times when during my time working in the city, taking the train, I would get tickets to go to a ball game at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, right? Now, I'm in Midtown in Times Square, and so it would take about 40 minutes by train to get there. Not bad, right? That's doable. The problem is the way home, because now the way home, you got to get from the Bronx back to Penn Station and then wait for the train at Penn Station to take the railroad back out to where I live. And it's now, you know, the game that ends at 11:30 at night or 11 o'clock at night, even you're stuck. You're not home until 1:30, quarter to two in the morning. And that's annoying. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of benefits. And I'm one of the jobs I'm going for is actually in D.C. And the reason I'm even in it, I'm even considering it. One is because it's a nonprofit and those are great places to work. And two, their benefit packages and all that are great. But two is because they just opened up a brand new train line, which is so close to the office I currently work in. I watch them build it. It's like right behind our parking lot. So it's the same drive to work in the morning. It's just a 37-minute train ride from the new train station into D.C. and then a few minute walk. So, you know, I could do that as opposed to normally before they opened this train station just a month ago, it was 2.5 hours to get into D.C. for me.
Oh, my God.
Well, just because of where the trains were, you know, by the time I'd make it to the Vienna train station, it was just ridiculous that I wouldn't even entertain it. So today when the phone rang and she said, well, but it's in D.C. And I said, well, where? And she told me, I said, do you know the stop? She did. I Googled it. It's on the brand new train line. I could leave at the same time in the morning. It'd be a 30-minute commute, 25-minute commute to the train, and then 37 minutes in on the train. I could do that. I did that when I was working in Manhattan. 30 minutes, you know, an hour door to door, I could do to work. So I do it. Diana joined us. Good evening, Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Is she hearing us? Diana?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Oh,
well, everything froze there for a minute, and then so I didn't know what happened. I just muted and unmuted. I figured, what the heck, I'll try. How does this sound? This is a new, I'm trying something new. I've got a microphone instead of earbuds, and I'm hoping it's not going to be too much ambient noise.
Actually, sounds great.
Oh, good.
Sounds great.
I live on a busy street, but I figure I can always just mute if it starts to get, you know, motorcycles going by and stuff with the holiday traffic tends to get that way. But
yeah, no, it sounds really good.
Oh, good.
We were just telling Cars Tales.
I was listening while I'm getting ready for work. This is my morning. So you're my morning show.
Oh, how about that?
Rob and Al and whoever. I'm kind of liking doing this before I go to work. It kind of wakes me up a little, you know.
That's cool.
Be with people.
So you just woke up because you're working overnight.
Yeah, well, I do. This is kind of, I was off today, so I just do like a nap from like 7 to 9 and sleep till noon before that.
It's do a something split in between. Shift of sleep, huh?
Yeah, I kind of got it figured out. I've been doing nights for 6 months or so, and it's, yeah, it's worth it.
I've done my share of nights and overnights when I was in television, you know?
Yeah, well, I did evenings for years and years and used to stay up all night after work, you know? And so people, you should work nights, but I never thought I could sleep in the day. But and figuring out if you just, I don't try to go to sleep right after work and, you know, I could fool around or do some business or whatever, paperwork until about, and then about noon, okay, I'm ready to go to.
We used to go and play racquetball in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. We'd go play racquetball.
I try to get myself to do exercise after work. And I just,
oh, well, look, I'm talking about.
Get into that better.
I'm talking about almost 30 years ago.
Oh, well.
I'm not talking about
We're
today.
The same age. We won't say what that is, yeah, Rob. So when I heard you say it, it's like, oh, I'm not the only one.
We're talking circa 1985, 86 when I was doing this, working overnights in television, getting out at either 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. And actually, it's funny because I knew a lot of nursing students, girls who'd just gotten into nursing, and a bunch of them who worked the overnights in the emergency room or wherever. And we would meet for breakfast a lot of times after work. It was kind of cool.
My favorite thing is going to breakfast after work. It's like my little reward, you know.
I used to listen to them tell all the stories about what went on in the ER the night before, and they used to have their little every time.
Interesting things at night. Let me tell you,
I would see them in the morning and they'd be spattered with blood. And you know, you see them, they're white stockings and their shoes are all like, you know, and I'd be like, really?
Well, you're really dating yourself now.
It's a long time ago. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. I do wear support hose though. they are definitely worth it.
They had a saying that if somebody coded, somebody died. They would, you know, they never said it out loud, but they would say, we got to go get the donuts.
Oh, I never heard that one.
That's the term that they used when it was time to go, I guess, wrap or wash or do whatever to.
Prep.
That was the code in front of the other patients and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now when I'm in a hospital, I'm always listening carefully for that one.
And everyone's wondering, why does everyone look so sad and upset? They're getting donuts.
Yeah. And it used to amaze me because the things that they would talk about, these were girls who are just out of school, maybe 2 years or whatever. And, you know, it's an exciting time. You're in your career and they would love, you know, you hear them talking about it and they're so passionate about it. And I'd be like, really? I mean, they used to hide me because they used to say I'd get there early and they'd say, you got to meet us in the emergency room. I was like, I don't want to be in the emergency room. I don't need to see anything. Oh, just go hide over here till our shift's out. And then we'll all go eat, you know, whatever. And
And what nurses consider a dinner time talk is probably would be pretty chucks for a lot of people.
Yes. Do they still call them chucks?
Yes.
They do. They still call them chucks. Yeah, heard all the stories
still,
about.
That's a little old fashioned, but you still hear that.
Chucks? Yeah. What is chucks?
It's like a pad that you
put underneath people and for any drippage,
extratory. Like a puppy pad.
Yeah, like a puppy pad. I like that.
Oh, that's exactly what they are.
I might bring that one into fashion, puppy pad.
Yeah. It was a joke amongst my friends. And, you know, in fact, they gave me a gag gift for Christmas and it was wrapped in chucks, you know, instead of wrapping it in.
Oh, no. A lot of people for their 40th birthday, they'll get like a can of Ensure and, you know, stuff like that. And some Depends. I've seen people get that for a 40th birthday.
For their 40th? Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, 40 is supposed to be the big. Oh, you're over the hill. Nowadays, though, I mean, everything's 10 years, you know, further on now. So now.
You tell me that's 50. Come on. I just.
Yeah, now
40.
It's 50, probably 50, but, you know.
Getting closer.
Okay.
Getting closer to 60. So I'd like to think 60 is the new 40.
Yes. Yeah. Go high five you on that one. But one of my favorite sayings I just recently, well, not recently, I guess last couple years, though. I learned as far as slang in the healthcare field is when somebody is you know dying or they're going one way, they're going to be in a, you know soon to, they call it circling the drain.
Yes, I've heard.
Say that again when they do.
I had heard that. I just heard that a couple years ago, and I just think that's kind of like that.
When they do brutal. What? They call it circling the drain.
Circling the drain.
When someone's dying.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I know it's weird. You have to see it as.
I don't know how I could. I could never do that kind of work.
Gallows humor, maybe.
I've worked with technology my whole life. It used to be radio equipment, then it was television equipment, now it's computer equipment, and there's no bleeding. There's no dying.
Nobody vomits on you.
Exactly. There's no. Yeah. I don't leave with blood on me. Once in a while, maybe I get a little grease under my nails from something, but nothing that's going to.
Just as painful, though. It's just as painful.
Yeah. Well. anyhow, yeah. Anybody have any good news stories or anything they'd like to talk about here at the top? I've got a bunch of things. Rin.
I have an Ebola update.
An Ebola update. I don't have any fancy Ebola music, but and we don't have David here.
Yeah, where's David to sing the theme song?
Today's the 28th, right? So
he's right. He leaves in 2 days, I think.
Yeah, he leaves in 2 days. So David, if you we would love to hear from you. So please give us a call so you can sing for us, because I don't have all the he's Albert gave me the
all
theme
dead,
songs.
All dead.
Oh, all there dead, we go.
All dead. Oh, nice.
Very nice. Awesome. Okay, with the latest Ebola update, here's Rin.
Okay, there are now 3,069 cases, which is 454 more than 5 days ago.
Wow.
And 1,552 deaths, which is 125 more than 5 days ago. And that's a fatality rate of 52%.
Wow.
Ooh.
Which is actually, it's the fatality rate is going down because it can be as much as 90%.
The fatality rate can be as much as 90% and it's 52%?
Yeah.
When does this thing end? How do you quell it? How do you end it?
Apparently, well, you have
the
to keep
to 20,000.
Fire kills everything.
No. I just read a report a few minutes ago saying the CDC expects they're not going to be able to control it until it hits about 20,000 people.
Why is that?
I don't know. I didn't read the entire report. I just read the first couple of lines.
So is it that they won't bother until it reaches that number? Is it not like, does it not make financial sense for them to get involved until the numbers are 20,000 or something?
Give me a moment. I'll find the report again and read it really quickly.
And while she's doing that, let me remind you, you can join us here on Skype at GabNet Live or call us at area code 347-352-0079. It'd be great to hear somebody on the phone and join Skype with us on the phone. I'd love to see how that works.
Wait, is that an actual phone number you just
yes, area code.
So we now have a phone number you can call?
Exactly. And it'll call right into our Skype here.
New news.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually this program is the inaugural program of the number. It's 347-352-0079. That's our number. Alex sent us an email the middle of the afternoon saying, start using it. So let's hope some people will call in and we'll see how it works out. I don't think I have any Ebola stuff while we're waiting for Miranda.
Okay, so it's the World Health Organization, and they say a total of more than 20,000 people may be infected with Ebola before it's contained, and it's going to cost a total of $490 million, estimated.
Wow.
Yeah, and it keeps spreading because people are... There's one guy who's charging people to go through his house and outside the village that's quarantined.
What? He's charging people?
He's charging people to go through his house so they can leave the village that's quarantined.
Wow.
So it's like a toll taker.
Wow. He's making money on this. And he's not only – he's making money, but he's hurting – he's letting people out who shouldn't be out.
Yeah. Yes.
That's wonderful.
And that's why it's real responsible. That's why it's spread.
That's real responsible. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
This is also in a land where they touch the dead body an awful lot.
Well, yeah.
You know, they kiss and rub on it and stuff.
I went through that last weekend. I had a family wake. Mm. And boy, I mean, there was a lot of people touching now the body didn't have Ebola, but still. Just more than I'm used to seeing. And it reminded me of that because that was one of the things that, you know, with Ebola, you don't touch the body. I'm not into touching dead bodies. I tried with my dad, and I just couldn't, you know?
Yeah, I just don't want to remember him that way. I touched my stepfather's sleeve. It's like I couldn't quite touch his hand, but I got really close.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I tried, but then I said to myself, do I really want to remember it that way instead of it warm? Yeah. So I just decided, nah. Anyway, Jeff has joined us. Of course, Miranda has joined us. So we're shaping up to have a bit of a citizen panel this evening. It seems to be quite slow. Maybe it is a travel day. People are out and about or getting ready for it. Maybe, people have the day off tomorrow. Got a couple of other stories. A follow-up on what we were talking about last night. I know I mentioned it and Alex did after me. Less than 2 days after a 9-year-old girl in Arizona accidentally shot and killed a gun range instructor who was showing her how to fire an Uzi, the National Rifle Association Wednesday touted new ways for children to have fun at shooting ranges. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
They can't wait in the car.
The nation's largest gun lobby posted a tweet Wednesday afternoon to its NRA Women account that read, 7 ways children can have fun at the shooting range. The tweet included a link to an article with the same title published on the website of Women's Outdoor News. A little over an hour after posting it, NRA Women deleted the tweet without explanation. Gee, I wonder why. The story linked in the Twitter lists a number of new colorful targets that it says will engage young shooters who have grown bored of the standard bullseye. In describing the pack of zombie targets, the author Mia Anstein writes that children can imagine they're getting rid of the monsters from their nightmares. But a nightmare is precisely what unfolded Monday when the 39-year-old range instructor, Charles Vaca, at Bullets and Burgers in Northwest Arizona, stood over a 9-year-old girl holding an Uzi, and the gun almost fired, it can fire about 30 rounds per second, and she lost control, and he died later in the hospital. Unbelievable. I mean, you can't make stuff like that up.
Under what circumstances does a 9-year-old become bored with just a plain bullseye and need something more?
I mean, what really? What kind of freak is he going to be?
This poor 9-year-old.
Is she going to be? This is a girl.
Yeah, I mean, how do you console a 9-year-old girl knowing that she didn't do it on purpose, but she is responsible for the death of a 39-year-old man who's got a family and all that. Jeff,
to answer Damien's question, kids have a short attention span these days, so you better keep shit lively. I mean, that's the sad part of it. But the other thing I want to say, why don't they say kids 8 to 11 get to shoot a BB gun, and 13 to 17 maybe a pellet gun, or what I'm saying?
Oh, no, because then that's saying that guns are dangerous.
And this is America. We have a right to have our children handling these firearms untrained.
Yeah, how's that working out for Burgers and Bullets?
Burgers and Bullets.
Pathetic.
It's just the name itself.
Mm-hmm. I know, we're the land of Burgers and Bullets. I mean, that's America, the land of Burgers and Bullets.
That is so true. That is so true. We're all fat from, I'm not exempt from this, from too much burgers and fast food, but I don't do the bullets thing. So, but
I was going to say, wait a minute, I'm missing out on the bullets because I got the burgers handled.
I don't do the bullets.
There are millions of people who are missing out on the burgers that are all into the bullets.
I mean, when I was a 15-year-old, I bought a .22 rifle. My cousin was into target shooting. We used to go to a range out on Long Island. And it was fun. And, we did a little of that, did a little of skeet shooting, the clay pigeons and stuff with a 12-gauge shotgun. But it got old. I mean, it truly got old, and I still have the rifle buried somewhere. I don't have any ammunition for it. I wouldn't get rid of the rifle because it reminds me of, you know, some good times, but I don't have any reason to buy rounds for it. Jeff?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I thought about buying a gun and really never had a reason. Once a long time ago, I never bought it. But I had a partner at work who we went in on a liquor store. He had diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, and died in 2010, 3 years after all this happened. But we were talking about guns one day, and he goes, I'd never buy a gun. I said, really, why not? And he goes, I'd be afraid I'd shoot myself.
Well, that's my fault. That's my fear. Because when I first moved to Virginia, it's a gun-toting, gun-carrying, concealed weapon kind of state.
I have the same, dear. I have the same issue.
Really? Yeah. So, okay, good. I'm not the only one.
And I went to a gun show, and I was walking around with a good friend of mine who happens to be a real NRA type of gun, you know, guy. And we walked around, and I looked at all these cool guns. And, you know, I mean, guns are cool. I like gadgets and things like that. It isn't like they're not a cool thing. But I'm looking at them going, do I really need this? I've gone my whole life without it. And then I start thinking, I'm the king of doing stupid things and hurting myself or someone else. And I said, you know, something tells me just walk out and just don't buy it. Diana?
Yeah. I just remind me that it's not, I don't think anybody hears from the South, but so they could say, but it is a Southern thing. And well, Virginia, you kind of see it too, right? I mean, I was engaged to a guy from South Carolina, and he was the geekiest, not a thread of macho in him. You know, geekiest, nerdiest, you know, just stereotypical. He had a gun. He used to keep it in this little spot in his car, this like secret compartment. He taught me to shoot. We wanted to make sure I knew how to shoot a pistol. And it's just something that in the South, and I don't know if it has to do with the Civil War.
I think a lot of it has to do with bonding.
Defend their land or something. It's a big Southern thing.
It was brought up on Alex's program last night that I think a lot of it has to do with the way children, boys especially, bond with their fathers. It's something they share, and it's something...
And with other boys.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bonding thing. And then, like I said, my friend who I went to the gun show with now has two children, and I know he's going to introduce them to weapons. And they go hunting, pheasant hunting and deer hunting and this hunting. And, I said, the guy who got me into it is my cousin. He's my age. He had a father who liked to hunt. And so they used to go deer hunting and bear hunting and such. And so that's how he got into guns. And then, you know, we're over his house and he's showing it to us. And wow, this is really cool. And of course you want everything that your cousins have. So I went out and I bought a 22 rifle and I've had it ever since. And I think for a 2 year period, we would go on a Saturday to the range and, you know, blow off 100 rounds of ammo into the targets. And then I grew up a little bit and just wasn't interested anymore. Jeff?
Yeah, you brought up something interesting. You know, they say, you know, between a man and his son, a father-son, there's always this one moment in life where you spot weld. And I could ask the men on this panel, and you could probably think of that one time you really connected with your dad and you remember what happened, where, when, time, everything. And so I guess, you know, guys, look for that. And using a gun is probably like the stupidest way to do that. But it's a good idea, but bad and practice by using a gun. I don't get that. But what I want to follow up on what my friend said, he said this about his gun before he was sick. He was afraid of suicide, not accidentally shooting himself. He was afraid that when he had, because, you know, life is ups and downs. He was afraid that if he had a down point in his life and he had a gun nearby, he'd take his own life. Not that he would accidentally shoot himself.
Again, the same reason I don't own a gun.
I don't know that I would ever look at it that way for myself, but I definitely making stupid mistakes. I think
the low points, you just never know how low the low point is going to get. And I've had low points that were actually very, very low. And I don't have them very much anymore. But, you know, what if I did? Gad, I mean, I would not want to
Why make it easy on yourself?
I don't know. Is it easy to put a gun into your head or into your mouth and pull the trigger? I don't know.
I haven't tried.
My uncle did it.
I had a boss. It was I don't know, back in the late, you know, early 2000s, who was just a, it was a vice president of this company I worked for. And great guy, nice guy, a little bit off. Like, he went ahead and got married, and one day I'm in his office and he's typing on his computer keyboard, and all of a sudden he's, and on purpose, it seemed like he was flaunting his hand in front of me, and he got married. Wow, you didn't even tell anybody you were dating any. I mean, it's okay, so you didn't have people from the office at the wedding or whatever, but nobody even knew this guy was involved with anybody, and suddenly he's married. And then he was like manic. You know, he was up and he was funny, and then he was like, he could be nasty when he wasn't. And then one day he went up to his cabin and he put a gun in his mouth and he blew his brains out.
I will never have a cabin just for that reason.
Not the gun, but the cabin.
Guns don't kill people. Cabins kill
people.
Right. You know, another friend of mine who's a big gun enthusiast, and he's a solid guy, and you know, one day he may blow himself up. I hope not. But he told me that 90% of these gun accidents you hear about, the gun didn't go off accidentally. They're failed suicide attempts.
Well, all right. But I have, like, my friend who took me to this gun show with him. We were sitting in his truck, and he was telling me about he was in an apartment. He's from Texas, and he was in an apartment, and he was clean. He said, I have taken every gun safety course. I know my weapons in and out. But you still have to be careful, he said, because one day he was cleaning his pistol, and he just pressed the trigger, thought it was empty, and the bullet went through the glass outside. And I'm like, you know what? That was the nail in the coffin, so to speak, for me never, ever getting a gun. I said to him, you know what? You've taken every course there is to take. You've grown up around these weapons since you're a little boy, and you could have killed somebody. I am never going to get a gun. And that was what sealed it for me right there. You can make that mistake, I know I'll make it, because I'm the king of making dumb mistakes.
And don't you think it also invites trouble? It's like, hey, you fuck with me, I got a gun.
I have a cousin. She lives Long Beach County, California. She lives
Long Beach County?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a county?
Correct, Miranda.
Is that right? Am I wrong?
Long Beach is in Los Angeles County.
She's not far from the piers,
because that's Santa Monica Pier?
No.
There's an entire series of piers. There's the Belmont Shore Pier, Seal Beach, Huntington are really close.
I think it's further south than that. It's where they bring in all the containers that, you know, all the shipping containers and stuff.
Oh, you're talking about the harbor.
Yes. So she's down in that area.
It's LA and Long Beach.
She's down in that area. And she has an illegal pistol. Right? Because it's not legal there. And she certainly doesn't have any permit to carry it. So one night I was visiting her. This is, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Her husband was there. I'm there. And we've been partying. We've been smoking and we've been drinking. And all of a sudden it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And my cousin says, I want to show you something. She goes pulling out her pistol. And I just looked at her and said, cuz, you either put that away or I don't care how drunk I am, I'm leaving. Because this is how things go wrong. And her husband was yelling at her, put it away, put it away, put it away. Finally, she put it away. But that's how things happen. Like the New Jersey net who got in trouble right around that same time. It was like 2007 or whatever, where he was showing his guns to somebody and that person got shot in his house totally by mistake. I just don't want to be around weapons. That's right. I don't want to be around that kind of thing. I stay away from it. And I told her, I said, I will get in my car. I'm leaving. I'll drive around the corner and sleep. I don't care. But I don't want to be in this house if you're not going to put that gun away right now. Took about 10 minutes to convince her, but she finally, oh, it'll be fine. No.
Oh, sorry. It's good.
Yeah. I don't play those kind of games.
Long Beach does have a gun problem, though. I mean, remember when I lived there, I used to go running in the neighborhood, and sadly, I was able to count the number of new bullet holes along my path. I would start running in, running through, some of the areas that neighbored more of the violent. You know, I lived in one of the better areas. I lived by the college, but you know, when I would go out for a run or even a bike ride, you know, I would get near some of the neighborhoods, and it just got to a point where I just started counting new bullet holes.
Well, and with all respect, it's not just Long Beach that has a gun problem.
Well, right.
This
right.
whole country but has it, a gun it's, problem.
Yeah, the firsthand experience with the city he was talking about.
I only have I've only seen gun problems with the police in where I'm from on Long Island. Used to have I didn't know anybody who had an illegal gun. Long Island, New York City area, very 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 strict about having a concealed weapon or a handgun that's not registered, and you've got to go through hoops. It's a tough place to get a gun, except for the police, who then when they drink. Flaunt them. And I'm talking about friends, not friends. I should say acquaintances. These are guys who I used to work at a nightclub, and it was frequented by New York City's finest. And those guys would be, you know, coming in packing, and they're drinking and they're partying. And those service revolvers, let me tell you, they get pulled out. And that's scary.
Well, a friend of mine has some property up in the mountains in Northern California, and he's a big drinker and he's a big gun guy. And he puts a positive spin on the ATF. He's like, yeah, baby, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. So it's just kind of twisted, but
a loaded
they're
gun.
Out there.
Yeah. Well,
it's the ATFE, by the way. It's the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Division.
Well, never. I'm the pessimist.
Added explosives to the name.
I'm ever the pessimist. I don't think this country will ever learn its lesson. I don't think you'll ever see strict gun laws. I just don't. I think when you've got the NRA trying to, you know, seven ways children can have fun at the shooting range.
Yeah.
You don't have a shot because that's what happens. You get them young, right?
When has any nation actually learned their lesson? I mean, the only way any nation has ever learned their lesson was the hard way. And so I don't have a whole lot of faith about our current nation learning our lesson here.
Right.
Well, what was
the hard way?
What was the impetus for making guns illegal in Great Britain?
That's what I was wondering. Yes, good question.
And how did they get it done? I mean, if you
even better question.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't have a massacre of children in a school, light the fire to do it. What will?
Nothing will.
I mean, I remember watching Piers Morgan when he was on that CNN show right around that time, and he had that gun dude on, and they were yelling and screaming at each other. And I mean, you get these kids just died. Tragically, and this guy's still standing by his story, still standing by it. We need guns. Everybody should. You know what? What's the answer? Give everybody a gun, and you'll see there'll be no.
Well, you know, what if they had 20 armed guards with guns at that school? I mean, I'm not sticking up for Wayne LaPierre, but I'll bet you that would not have happened.
Wow.
It almost seems like their answer is to arm the school children. You know, I mean,
short of that,
why would I want to have a child and send them to public school knowing that there's a really good chance they could actually die? I mean, it's not like 20%. It's more like 1 or 2% or perhaps less. But still, there's a chance that they could die at public school because of somebody else's child.
I wonder how many parents out there would love to arm their children to go to school.
Well, in Israel, the teachers are armed. They have M16s or some shotgun or machine gun.
Really?
Wow. Machine gun?
I remember right after 9/11 and for the first, well, maybe a year after the 9/11 thing, you know, it was so weird to be at Penn Station and seeing military men with their M16 rifles just standing there. And you think, wow, this is the streets of Manhattan. It's just... It's the world has definitely changed, and it's not quite so bad anymore. I don't think they're doing that. At least before I left, they had eased that out. You didn't have all that firepower just standing there.
Yeah,
I flew to Hawaii in 2002, and they had armed guards with M16s.
Yeah,
2002. I mean, yeah.
Wow, it's a year later.
Right after 9/11.
They were still doing. After 9/11. They were still having. They were still packing at Penn Station in New York in 2002. It was about a 2 year period. Can't say for sure, but it was probably about a 2 year period where you saw, or you would come down the escalator and then you'd suddenly get pulled over by a police or whomever to frisk you, to look in your backpack. You know, that was really odd. You know, you're trying to run for a train and all of a sudden you're told, could you come with us? I'm like, what? My train is in three. Come with us.
Wow.
This is how we're living.
Sorry, Rob. Your hair is too dark.
I'm going to say goodbye because I have to get going to work. My last word, Diana. Explosive.
All right, Diana.
Bye, Diana.
Good night, Diana.
Actually, Rob, I got to take off too. I got a show to do in 10 minutes.
Oh, don't you though? I'm going to try to join you. I've got to log in at 10 p.m. and I've got to patch a couple of VMware servers that I unfortunately promised, but it shouldn't take too long. And then I'm going to try to join you on your show. First time I've never been able to be on your show.
That'll be awesome. That's part of the science experiment.
What are you talking about tonight, Miranda?
Give a tease.
Whatever the panel wants to talk about, you know, it might be some of the topics that I've thrown in there, like Amazon released 5 new pilots earlier today, similar to like they've done before. One of them
were they kidnapped or what?
No. Like TV show pilots for Amazon Instant Video.
Okay.
I don't know. I've got some things about wearable technology. Do bank robbers still wear masks? I've got a bunch of stuff in the lineup.
Sounds great.
But it all depends on what the citizen panel wants to talk about. I defer to the panel.
And it's coming up in about 8 minutes at 10 p.m. Eastern time right here on GabNet. Thank you for calling in,
I got
in,
a
Miranda.
Little bit more prep to do, but I'll be back.
I'll get it to you on time.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Hey, so Rob.
Yeah.
No more games because you're not on tomorrow night? There's nothing tomorrow night?
No, I'm on tomorrow night. I am on tomorrow night. That Albert was incorrect when he said that there was no live programming. I'm here for Albert. And then at 10 o'clock, it'll be Rebel Stoke Jim's Canadian content for 2 hours. And then at midnight tomorrow night, we start the Labor Day Rewind, where we started.
And that's rewinds from the whole time, not just this week?
No, it's rewinds for, yes, there's no live rewind. This week's programming will not make a rewind. We are going to run rewinds from Memorial Day until current. So, and there are no repeats. It's 3.7 days of, you know, rewinds there. So, and he said there's no reruns of any of the rewinds from the last holiday, from the 4th of July. So it should be a lot of programming, and I get to take over GabNet again, even though I will be nowhere near here. Rin?
Well, it looks like the way that England got rid of their guns is they started in 1903 with the Pistols Act, and then in 1920 there's a Firearms Act, and 1937 there's another Firearms Act, followed up by another one in 1968. And in 1988, there was an amendment to the firearms. And in 97, they finally banned all firearms, all handguns.
Does it mention if society revolted in any way or pushed back?
Well, it snuck up. So, I mean, it almost took 100 years for it to to happen. So, I mean, that's how you do it. You sneak it up a little bit at a time.
Yeah, but everybody is so – and again – again, my friend who took me to the gun show, every time you talk to him about a Democratic president or anybody, the first thing he talks about is the guns. They're very, very sensitive to any slippage of any right or rule when it comes to carrying a weapon. So, and you've got that strong, strong lobby. You got to wonder what kind of system they have in Great Britain that doesn't they don't have that kind of lobbying going on, all that money being spent. I drive down 66 here and I see the big NRA headquarters building that's shiny and bright, and there's a lot of money there.
Hey, but you know what? It's not all about money.
Say that again. I didn't hear either one of you.
Go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, Damien. Okay, well, the British, the English people in general are more, they don't want to cause a fuss. They don't, you know, that's just part of who they are. Mm-hmm. They want to be embarrassed. They don't want to cause a scene. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And, of course, we've got that little piece of paper that says that we're allowed to or forced to carry guns. So
it's interpreted as such anyway. Damien?
Yes.
Well, I was just going to say that my best friend actually works at a gun store, and he's a very liberal man. I mean, he's very lefty, actually. But in this particular instance, in this particular piece of paper that gives us right to carry our weapons, he's very much a conservative. I mean, he believes very much that we should all be able to carry weapons openly, you know, however, as much as we want. And so it goes beyond what they're trying to, like, educate us to. It goes beyond what the propaganda is, you know, because my friend is not buying into the propaganda, and yet he really truly believes that he has the right to carry a gun anywhere he wants, and, you know, that's all there is to it. And he'll fight for that right as long as he can. And as liberal as he is, there's no way he will ever be convinced otherwise.
Does he have that feeling? Is he one of those people that has the feeling that you're going to need the gun someday? Because
No. He just feels like it's a tool in his belt. And why are they restricting his right to carry this tool in his belt any more than they would restrict me from carrying a power screwdriver, you know, or something like that? You know, in his point of view, there's no reason for them to restrict his right.
Well, not from 20 feet away.
Right. You have to be a little more up close and personal.
No, I found it here. It says here in Great Britain, They had a campaign letting people know that guns would make their teeth worse, so they didn't fight it.
Oh!
Well. Come on.
Yeah, it made me laugh, Jeff.
Thank you.
Before we run out of here, one more story. Russian hackers attacked the U.S. financial system in mid-August, infiltrating and stealing data from J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and at least one other bank. An FBI incident is investigating. The FBI is investigating as a possible retaliation for government-sponsored sanctions against the Russians, according to two people familiar with the probe. The attack resulted in the loss of gigabytes of sensitive data, said the people, who were asked not to be identified because the probe is still a preliminary probe. Authorities are investigating whether recent infiltrations of major European banks using similar vulnerabilities are linked to the attack, one of the people said. So now we're going to get cyber busted, and because of our policies with the Russians, they're going to...
Yeah, no, when you got the phone call the other day that you were going to get indicted by the FBI, you really should have called them back. I mean, that was really... They were serious. Come on, man.
See that?
I expect to see him pulled out of frame.
How come I'm sitting here tonight? How come I'm sitting here tonight, you know? I mean, I made it. My wife got another wacky call like that today. Yeah, I don't
really?
Know. Yeah, she got another one of these weirdo calls where they told her she needs to call this number or whatever. There's a lot going on the phones. Everybody, she now finally understands, because she doesn't come from a place like this. So she's finally beginning to understand that you just got to have eyes behind your head. Anyway, we do have to get this program over to Miranda. It is just about 10 o'clock. Thank you all for joining us on the Citizen Panel tonight. We're going to do it again tomorrow night. Final words from, let's start with Jeff. Last word?
Games.
Okay. Damien?
Tuna fish.
And does Nicole want to shout one? Or is she not in the room?
Accident.
Accident. And Rin, the final last word on the Thursday night public house.
Gotta be gone.
Gun. All right. Thank you very much, folks. I had a good time tonight. Hope you guys did.
Good night, everyone.
Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow night again as we finish the week out here on the Albert's Public House program. He will be again back on – where's my bed here? There it is. He'll be back again on Tuesday night. Miranda Janelle and Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle is up next right here on the Great American Broadcast Network. Have a good night.